Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Our show today is about deathbed promises.
Ooh. I'm intrigued.
And everybody knows what that is.
Do we?
Because we've, don't we?
So I'm on my deathbed and I'm making promises to people?
No! Okay. This is good that we need to clarify.
No, you need to clarify.
Right. Deathbed promises, from what I've seen in movies and what I got out of this particular session, is when the dying person on their deathbed makes other people promise them to take care of other people after they die.
I'm not caffeinated enough for this show yet.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't caffeinated enough for that session. Okay, so this is what this is about. And the name of this client, I'm going to call her Ty. That's a made-up name. So Ty asks me at the very beginning of the session. So she's, we can see each other, first of all. And she says, Karen, can you tell me what you get about Dad? And I said, yeah. I said, I can go open and just ask. Are you going to say if he's alive or dead or anything? And she goes, oh, I thought you would know. And I said, well, I can ask. I said, you don't have to say anything. Let me ask. So I said, okay, I'm looking for Dad. And I said, what do you want to tell me so that I can offer this to Ty? Because she's just asking me to connect to you today. And I get this man coming through saying, I'm who she calls Dad, but I'm not a biological dad. And I said, oh, you're a stepdad. He goes, no. He goes, I'm a father-in-law. But she calls me Dad. And I thought, okay, I think I get that. I've heard people who call their in-laws mom and dad like their biological children do. So I thought, okay, I see what she's doing with that. It's not something I did, but I know it does occur. So I said, well, let me confirm that with her first. And he goes, yep, that's fine. He says, I'm father-in-law. Oh, and by the way, he says, I am dead. And he says, I can tell you that I died about a year ago. And you can start with just those things. That will be helpful to her. So I said, okay. So I told her that. And Ty said to me, yeah. And again, and I know clients listeners are hearing how so many clients think I should know things like, duh.
No, not on my fucking life would I call an in-law mom or dad, because that gives a sibling feeling to the person you are sleeping with.
Yes, that's what I think. I think it's
no, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, like I think that concept is weird to do that, but I know so many people that do it, and it's just like, okay, well, I guess you're comfortable with it, but my head goes to the same space as yours, actually, and I also think it screws up our biological children that we are both calling Grandpa Dad.
Let's move on. What else does he have to say?
Okay. Yeah, that was really down a rabbit hole. So she says to me, well, yeah, like, of course. And I said, well, it's not of course for me. And this is what he's offered me to clarify and to create degrees of separation between the two of you. Meaning biological degrees of separation. This is not my biological child. So he's clarifying their relationship. And she was challenging it, that he did that, which was very confusing to me why she did. However, you'll see as we go through the session that she has beliefs that he needs to bring up all the way through all the way through her session. So then I said to him, what else do you want to say to her? And he said, oh, he says, I want to talk to her about when I died. And he said, so I have validated for her that it was about a year ago. He said, it's just coming up to the anniversary. He says, they haven't had it yet. She confirmed that. And then he said, before I died, he said I was very sick. And he said I was sick for a while. Oh, and by the way, Karen, my wife is still alive. And my wife was around me and quote unquote took care of me. But she didn't really do much to take care of me, even though she was capable of it. But she fussed around me. She made a lot of fuss. And she wanted everybody to know that she was taking care of me by putting like a blanket over me.
Martyr, let's go.
Yes. But if anybody actually had to put a catheter in or bathe him or actually take care of his teeth or like really do anything, I'll say substantial, but it's just what happened in the session. Other people do it, including his own kids, including his own in-laws, like his daughter-in-laws, his son-in-laws. They're doing things. She asks everybody, and actually it eventually is that his wife doesn't even really have to ask anybody because she's made it clear that she doesn't do these things, but that she likes to look good, that she's a good wife. But it's actually that he had spent his life, the dying man, taking care of her, and everybody knew it. So he says to me, my daughter-in-law here, Ty, was around me as well as all of my other children and in-laws and my wife and people who took care of me before I passed. It was a long time. It was years before I passed. He says, I was sick for quite a long time. And he says, and I want to validate that she was around during that period. And he said, but then closer to about a month before I passed, she and her husband were around me and her kids. I want to validate they were the week of that I passed. I want to validate that they were the day that I passed. And I thought, why are you breaking all of that down? He goes, I have a point. He goes, I'm getting to my point. And he said, so then the day that I died, she was around, my son was around, lots of people were, so was my wife. He says, and I even had times where I was alone with my daughter-in-law, Ty, where everybody else had left the room, they'd gone for lunch, they had gone to make some arrangements to call a funeral home. They knew I was dying that day, they had started making some plans. And he said, and then she left the room and my son came into the room. And then she came back in, but my son left. He says, so that's kind of like the order of things. And I waited until she was alone. And he said, and I had enough strength to ask her something. And he says, I looked at her and he says, I asked her to promise me on my deathbed that she would take care of my wife. And she didn't. She just sort of looked at me like, oh my God, he's speaking. Mm-hmm. So she ran out of the room and she brought other people in and said, he's speaking, like he's awake. And so everybody came running back in and now there's quite a few people in the room and he looks right at Ty and he really focuses on her and everybody's looking at him and everybody's looking at Ty, like how come he isn't looking at mom? How come he's not looking at his wife? And he looks right at Ty and he repeats himself and he says, promise me on my deathbed that you will take care of my wife. And everybody's looking at her. And they're all waiting for him to like breathe his last breath.
Pass.
And she looks around at everybody that's looking at her and she says, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, I love you. Oh, and she goes, and there's crying, and like he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
And this is why it was important to explain to her how many people around, mm-hmm. how many times he had an opportunity to ask her where she could have offered a no, and so on. And so this keeps unfolding in this session. Is that coffee good, Kelly?
Not good enough, Karen.
So she says to me in the session, Karen, can you ask Dad to explain more? And I said, yeah. I said, I can listen. And I said, is that all correct? And she goes, yes, it is very. She goes, it is very correct. And so I went off and I asked Dad, like, what was going on? And he said, okay. He says, you have to explain to her, Karen, that this is me talking to you as a dead person, because she's not going to make any sense of this.
When he tells her that he has codependent issues and needs to delegate all of his over-responsibility to the person who also cannot say no.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And
dick move.
Yes. And that dead dad is showing up to say, wow. Wow. Like, I clearly saw you as the daughter-in-law that was going to pick up my cross, mm-hmm. so to speak, my enabling of my wife, when I had clearly watched all my children set boundaries with their mother mm-hmm. and with me, where I didn't like it, but I have this one son that has married his father.
Go on.
And I see my opportunity to die without feeling guilt that I'm dying first mm-hmm. because my wife can't take care of herself, or my wife can take care of herself and absolutely refuses to. Mm-hmm. And I have enabled her. My children and my other daughters and sons-in-laws won't enable her. So I have pegged her, and I'm going to ask her in front of everybody else to shame her into it.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that a nice little wedge in their marriage now?
Yes. And he talked about that, Kelly.
Where it just completely undermines the entire connection and relationship between the two married individuals, because now you have the weight of this promise, this responsibility, instead of the integrity of the relationship first.
Yeah. So he ends up apologizing to Ty in our session together that, number one, that he did this to her when he clearly saw she was a people pleaser.
And then like, what? Is she supposed to play the recording for the entire family to say, hey, I have a spiritual out because he's grown on the other side and realizes this wasn't okay? Like, how do you then kind of rectify things with the family when you have done a public yes? Because keep in mind, just because other members have set healthy boundaries and don't enable doesn't mean they want her to stop being the enabler.
That's exactly what's happening. And what's going to happen is that they are not going to want her to stop.
Right, because then they have to problem solve things as a family.
They have to actually, yes, problem solve, deal with mom, or all walk away from mom.
Right.
And they're in a position of, oh, we don't actually want to walk away from mom because this is grandma.
So Ty, you keep doing you, and that works for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Except that what dad is saying is that his son is only going to tolerate it for so long. And hear me out. He says his son is going to tolerate her behavior for so long in the sense that he's going to have an affair.
Yep. You can see that coming a mile away.
Yes, because he wants to stay in the marriage where she's going to take care of mom, where she's going to go and do all of that, whatever it is for mom stuff, which will keep peace between him and all of his siblings, all of his nieces and nephews, where he can still be the brother, the uncle, all of that kind of stuff. And where it is going to cause some problems in the marriage between him and his wife and his own children. Mm-hmm. But the way that he's going to deal with that issue is to have an affair so that he can go to another woman mm-hmm. and have the life he wants with another woman, so long as she tolerates that he stays in the marriage.
Yeah, because he can't afford to be the bad guy who leaves the nice wife.
Yes.
Who's doing all of the caretaking.
Yes. So Ty says to me, well, I've got news for you. That's already happening. And I went, oh, Ty, that's not news for me. But I said, I am so sorry. She said, it's not even a year. She says, and I am over at my mother-in-law's taking care of my mother-in-law. And clearly, she says, where my husband has made a very big distinction that she's not moving in with us. That I'm okay to go to my mother-in-law's to take care of her. I can even go and sleep over there on the weekend when she says she's scared to sleep alone on the weekends because, you know, society's gone, you know, violent. So Friday nights, Saturday nights, I'm nervous. So she runs over and stays with her mother-in-law on the weekends.
Yeah. And like, how do I want to say this? Because I'm all for supporting women. This woman is now committed to losing her identity, which means that regardless of whether or not she was married to a man, the partner that she has chosen doesn't have a partner to connect to because now she doesn't exist as an autonomous individual.
That's right.
Right? And so an affair becomes very ideal because I want to connect to someone who is giving me something of substance. And I'm not excusing the affair. I want to be clear about that. It just makes so much sense that someone would desire one.
Yeah.
Because when your person disappears and morphs or blends in with or merges with someone else, what do you have?
Thank you, Kelly. Ty's father-in-law, which we're now going to start calling him father-in-law instead of dad during the session.
Okay.
So I said to her, how about we start calling him father-in-law? How about we start calling her mother-in-law and we start identifying very clearly what roles are and allow you to see your own father as your father. And we actually had a conversation around role playing and picking and choosing what roles we're going to play in life for people and how we can have healthy boundaries around those roles. So then really it brought us really quickly to the end of the session because she really wanted to hear his acknowledgement. She really didn't understand why he did this to her, but her people pleasing came out and she got resources from Beverly Angell, the Nice Girl Syndrome, to be able to go in and deeply understand how she was geared from her own childhood to be a people pleaser, to call a man dad in her situation who isn't her father dad. To blur all of those lines because she was used to lines being blurred.
Yeah. I want to be clear too, like, you know, asking someone to hold guardianship over your children is different than asking someone to promise to take care of a grown fucking adult who has the ability to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
So if any of you are listening to this and thinking, oh my God, I know someone who said, you know, please make sure my children are okay. Please make sure my children get what they need. That is different. When you have someone who is a dependent, right? When you have someone who needs a parental figure in their life, that's wildly different than a capable adult.
Yeah, and this is something that gets pointed out by her father-in-law to her, is that her mother-in-law is capable of being independent. She's capable of hiring people. She's capable of asking other friends, anybody, in life, strangers, accessing services, to ask for the things that she's asking her daughter-in-law to do.
And this is another thing. What you're asking them to do also needs to be clearly defined, right? Because, I mean, I'm going to be honest. If I was dying on my deathbed, there's a few people I would turn to and say, you take care of Karen, okay? But what that means with healthy boundaries is, can you show up for her emotionally? Can you show up for her psychologically? Can you check in with her? Don't do on her behalf. Don't take away her independence. Don't rob her from the ability to be a whole human being.
Yeah.
Support, right? And so have those healthy boundaries and check-ins to figure out what those needs are. And remain your own individual and don't merge with her. Don't run for anything that she snaps her fingers for. Assess your own needs as well.
So I'm going to continue a little bit here because we ended up talking about Terry Cole's book, Boundary Boss, and around setting boundaries. We talked about Patricia Evans' book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, so that she could identify where she's allowing other people to verbally abuse her and manipulate her. And anyway.
And maybe Susan Forward's book called Emotional Blackmail?
Yes. She was given a whole bunch of resources and she was told about our book club where we read all of these types of books where she could get support reading one chapter each week, getting a tool per week. finding other people in the book club to discuss how they're using the tools, to get supported in using the tools, where she could sit there and laugh at her own mistakes with other people, where we all talk about the mistakes that we've made, including mm-hmm. you and I.
Oh, yes.
Talking about the patterns that we get into and how to break a pattern. And she, one more book that she was given, Kelly, was It's Attachment by Annette Kusin, mm-hmm. Or to go to the Personal Development School on YouTube with Tyee Gibson to learn about her attachment style. And the attachment style that she has with all of these different people and all of these different dynamics, but where her attachment style is playing out in all of these relationships consistently.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, that's a worthwhile session.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she booked in with you, because I can imagine that that just changed her entire life.
Yeah, I hope so. And you know what? I think for the first time, she actually got a healthy father-in-law who was willing to see her as a grown individual,
yeah.
was willing to see his mistakes, was willing to see his codependency, was willing to really call out his wife and their relationship, and simply say to her, our relationship is going to destroy and is destroying your relationships.
So I know you said that you hope it changes her life, but I want to be really firm on something here. It has the ability to change her life.
Mm-hmm.
All of the messages and all of the resources that you gave to her has the ability to change her life if she wants to do something with them. And this is the thing about mm-hmm. the channeling, right? Like mm-hmm. the messages that are coming through from your own soul, from your own spirit guides, from the souls that you have loved and who have loved you mm-hmm. are all meant to help you have clarity, direction, and relief in life, right? What you choose to do with them is completely up to you.
Well said.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It was an excellent story, and I hope it gives people a lot of thought about potentially what their deathbed promises might have been prior to this show and post-show. Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.